little bit about this mysterious gezeira of refuah, and we found a lot of things mysterious about it. First of all, its very existence is mysterious. As we mentioned, there is a certain tension. Just the title, you want to talk about refuah and Shabbos are two opposite things you could talk about. So similar to what we saw last week, we talk about electricity on Shabbos, two opposite issues. But here they're really opposites. We know one shiur we could give on refuah about Shabbos being what we are allowed to do for the purposes of refuah, even though it's a malacha, whether it's a malacha minat Torah or a malacha midrabanan. And the flip side, we find activities that are mutter, should not involve any malacha at all, being prohibited because of refuah. So refuah both being a reason to allow performance of malachos, malachos d'oraisa, malachos d'rabbanan, and conversely, being a reason to forbid things that don't involve any malachos. That itself is very unusual. And what else do we find unusual? We had a number of questions yesterday. And what did we find unusual about the way this gezeira plays out? What are some of the striking details? Let me see, Sammy.
It has nothing to do with the actual token at all.
Well, so that's one question, right? That ostensibly, this is a gzeira because of tochen. That's how Rishonim explain. The Gemaras that refer to it talk about shchika samamanim. Apparently, we're concerned this is going to lead on some level to the grinding of the ingredients, and that would be a violation of tochen. But that itself is not enough. We have a number of problems with that. What problems? So, Sammy, you want to flesh out a little more? Sorry, so one issue is, if it's true, like the Rishonim and the Rashba and others, that tochen is mutter la'alter, so we have to figure that out. Why should it be that it's even usher to make the medicine in the first place? That maybe is a little bit surprising. So to make a gezeira that you shouldn't come to make this medicine, that's certainly one detail that's worth noting. What else? What else was surprising about this? Well, first of all, it doesn't only apply where we're immediately concerned about grinding. And we see clearly from the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gimel that it comes up even in cases where you're not dealing with pills at all. And you're doing actions which don't necessarily even involve any outside substances. And so from our sugya on the Gimel and Mepes, you saw this one situation where we're talking about standing in water. And it came out that you possibly might want to make your animal stand in water. And maybe you might want to have a person stand in water in order to cool off, in order to deal with agitated blood situation. So how did it come out in the conclusion of the Gemara? So people and animals had different rules. Each one of them was interesting. Right, so in terms of people, what did the Gemara say about having somebody stand in water?
It's okay.
It's okay. Why is it okay?
Because people do it for other reasons.
Because people do it for other reasons, right? So fascinating statement. So apparently it's problematic. It would theoretically be a violation of refuah, even though it's got nothing to do with pills, no potential grinding. And the reason it's okay is equally interesting. Why is it okay? It's okay because somebody who looks could think it's something else, because people stand in water for other reasons, to cool down, so therefore it looks like it could be something else, which itself a fascinating idea, the opposite of anything we see anywhere else. Right? Normally we have a concept where things could be okay inherently, but if they look bad, we don't do them. And here we find the opposite. Here we're saying there's a prohibition to do something, but if it looks good, falsely, if it looks like you're not doing what you actually are doing, then it's okay. And that's the standard that we find elsewhere. Also, we found that on the Mishnah in Kuftes and Bebeis, where the Mishnah was telling us that anything that normal people eat, people who are healthy eat. So somebody can eat even for refuah purposes, because it's not evident that they're doing it for the purposes of refuah. We mentioned the Meiri, who notes that even if it's a little bit unusual, but it's not blatantly obvious, still okay. All of that very unusual for a gezeira, kind of the opposite direction of the gezeira. So that comes out from the Gemara and Gimel and Beis, also about the person. And the animal doesn't have that heter, because the animal, we don't necessarily have a different reason for doing it. Sammy, you want to comment on that?
Yeah. Let's say it's obvious to everybody that this person is doing it for refuah, even though it's my whole breed.
Right.
So that's Shulchan Aruch seemingly says that that would still be okay.
So that's an interesting question in itself. So what do we mean by mucha milsa?
Right.
So what's going to be obvious? Is it just that the general action is itself duly focused, or is it this specific situation that someone will have to look at? But in terms of the animals, so the Gemara seems to say that hetter wouldn't apply, but then the Gemara kind of backs away from the whole animal issue, because the Gemara says shchika samemanim itself is a machlokas, specifically when it comes to animals. And it sounds like maskana of the Gemara is that we don't apply it to the animals in that case. And we'll have to figure out in general what the rule is by the animals. And we saw the Rush, who explains what's the difference between animals and people, putting a new ingredient into the story. Bubble, right? That because people are very concerned, they're going to panic. And by the animals, they're not so up on animal rights, they're not going to panic about that. That's not something that's going to lead them to make mistakes. So it sounds like, at least from that perspective, that's in the Rush of the Riff, that when it comes to people, we're going to panic. When it comes to animals, we're not going to panic. But what was also surprising is that, so here you have situations where we're not necessarily involved with pills at all, and yet we're afraid that you may come to grind up pills. That seems to be a gezeira. Right? It seems to be that we're at least one step removed from the actual action. And we're prohibiting situations where we're not even up the pills. And Rashi seems to say explicitly on the place where we started on the Gimel Amud Beis, that what are we worried about? Are we worried about grinding of pills? Or more specifically, what are we worried about? What were his language? Worried about people being matter. We're worried that somebody else will see it and will allow it. Right? It's very indirect, very indirect. We're not worried it's going to happen now. We're worried that someone will see it and will allow it elsewhere. Very unusual type of gzeira. So it sounds like a Marasayan concern. It sounds like a different type of Marasayan. Right here, in this unusual focus on what is being perceived, the Tosfos Rid actually uses that language and says everything is because of the roin, everything is because of what people see. So that itself is a very striking component. So what else is unusual about this? We also mentioned another example where we wouldn't necessarily think there's a real risk of a violation of tochen. We mentioned the yontif context. And what did we see there? That the Magen Avraham. What does the Magen Avraham contain? That refuah is asur on yontif. Where does he get that from? Because the Shulchan Aruch just says that. Right, the refuah is mutar on kol hamoed. So we don't know what the story is for yontif. And the Magen Avraham says, oh, you see from here, it's asur on yontif too. And we started to mention yesterday, there's a tshuva about this in the Chesh of Ha'eid book, the Chesh of Rav from London, Rav Padua, who notes that doesn't seem to be a concern, because it seems to be ochel nefesh on yontif, or at most, an issur drabanan. So let's say you actually do grind up the samamanim. So what are we afraid of? Had the whole discussion about whether or not Lamaisa really is also. Notes that there are equal discussions in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Avnei Nezer, and he and all of those come out, Lamaisa, that presumably should be machmir about it. But conceptually, he's not sure what the issue is. If it doesn't seem to be like we're really risking a violation of an Aveira Amen. And we also saw the surprising position of Rashi. But the Mishnah on Kuf Tes and the Beis tells us that which is normal food and drink, a person can have even for refuah purposes. But if it's something that's a little bit less usual, like the maid, the kalim, the palm water, so then you can drink that for thirst, but not for refuah. And what does Rashi say that throws us into a little bit of a loop over there? Rashi says, only if you're not a cholor. Right? So only if a person doesn't need it for medicinal purposes, and is not going to get any medicinal benefit. So Mishnah Berurah points out that this doesn't seem to be the view of the Rambam, doesn't seem to be the view of Rabbeinu Chananel and others. Because, all right, so you get medicinal benefit, but you're not trying to. So what are we worried about here? We're worried about a davar she'eino miskave? We're saying that this is a prohibited action, and you have to worry even if you do it unintentionally.
We saw that the Maharshal raised the concern that if it's definitely going to happen, it's a violation.
And others question that.
So that seems to bring up the issue. Is this a prohibited action? Or are we worried more about your involvement, your wishing to bring about refuah? So if you're not trying to bring about refuah, so then maybe this should be mutter, even if you are a chol. That was probably the view of the other Rishonim, who seemed to disagree with Rashi. And maybe separation isn't an issue either, as we mentioned, some will question that Maharshal.
So on the one hand,
two flip sides of the equation. On the one hand, we're interested more in the desire to bring about refuah rather than an act of refuah. So if you do an act of refuah unintentionally, maybe that's not an issue.
While the flip side, we also mentioned that the Agli Tal and the Abinazer, both of the Svarim, he asserts that if somebody wants to have a refuah happen to him passively,
even without him doing any action, that's still a violation of this gezeirah.
Right, we had that whole discussion yesterday about even though malachos,
many assume that malachos require you to physically do something, when it comes to gezeiros, that's not necessarily the case. It could be that Chazal prohibited things even passively, even when you're not doing anything. And especially, you find this, the Agli Tal asserts, in the context of this gezeirah of refuah.
So there's not much of a Maisa focus. Right? It's not so much about what you're doing, it's about your involvement in healing. So even if somebody else is doing the action, it would still be a problem. And if you're doing the action without kavana for healing, maybe it shouldn't be an issue.
So all of this is unusual. Something else that was striking about Rashi that was pointed out yesterday, when Rashi says it shouldn't be permissible to a chola, why is that striking? Why is that a little bit unusual?
Right, that if it's a chola, we should worry that it should be prohibited because of a chola.
Why is that unusual? Is it so obvious, Tavir? Can I say
something? Is it so obvious that there is an Isser by a chola?
Is that the right terminology?
Not necessarily, right? It's not so clear that there is an applicability of this gezeira to a chola.
And the language that we normally find is that this
gezeira applies to who?
Bari.
Applies to a bari, right? Applies to somebody who is healthy. If a person is a cholesh, yesh bo sakana, so we know that that's pikuach nefesh, and we allow full-blown malach. If a person is a cholesh who doesn't have sakana, so are we assuming that there's an issa refuah for him as well? So the truth is, this was a machlokas to Rishonim. And there were some Rishonim who did think so, that perhaps sakana's aver will be megal. But we're not necessarily going to assume that if there's no danger to limb, at least, that we're necessarily going to undo the gzeira of refuah. And that's probably the view of most Rishonim and most poskim. It's the view of the Ramban and the Rashba. The Rush disagrees, the Ran disagrees, maybe this Rashi disagrees. But many assume that, and the Mahalakha seems to be the case as well, that this gezeira doesn't apply to a chola. It applies to a healthy person who's walking around like a healthy person, but he's not feeling well. It's what the Rama writes, that it doesn't apply to somebody who's no full mishka, having right sefer.
Can you just repeat those Rishonim again?
Those who are mekel would include the Ramban and the Rashba. The Rashba is in Shabbos and Kuf Chavches and Medalev. We'll add some of these marmakomos tomorrow.
Okay.
But so I'll give you a list tomorrow. But the Ran is in Shemona Shratzim, and the Rashba is in Shabbos Kuf Chavches. There's a Rush in Avodah Zarah. I'll give you the whole list tomorrow. That so there are those Rishonim who assume that it doesn't automatically get permitted for a chola shein bo sakana. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say this is only applicable to a bari, to a healthy person, and that seems to be the majority view of a halacha. And the Rama writes, the person is no full of mishka, the person is collapsing, so then this gezeira does not apply. And his source seems to be the Beis Yosef. with the Bach asks, and this is again somewhat of a debate. He has a strong view that this din only applies to a bari, to a person who is healthy. And once we say that it applies to a person who's healthy and not to a person who's a cholek she'ein bo sakana, we started to say yesterday there's at least two ways you could understand that. And we could say that the reason it shouldn't apply to a cholek she'ein bo sakana is because of a clash. Okay, we have the gezeira, we have the din rabbanan, and yet we have the needs of a cholek she'ein bo sakana. So what's the rule? If we find there are other drabanan that are permitted under certain circumstances for a cholesh ein bo sakana, so maybe this drabanan we should allow also. In other words, it applies across the board. There's a gzeira b'refuah for everyone. But certain things will override it. So a cholesh ein bo sakana will override everything. A cholesh ein bo sakana, maybe we're overriding drabanan depending on what nuance exactly you subscribe to. So maybe here too, it's a drabanan also subject to leniencies for a cholesh ein bo sakana. Or, could say differently. Now we could say that it was never applied to a chol at all. Maybe this gezeira is addressed specifically to healthy people. Maybe for some reason this is a targeted issue for a bari, a person who's not bechlal chola, is subject to this gezeira. So what exactly is the nature of that scope? Why would it be? Let's even assume, like the Mekilim, that it only applies to a bari and not to a chol she'ein bo sakana. Why is that? Is that because the gezeira was only directed at the bari? Or is it directed at everyone? But the same way we have heterim for all kinds of cholim, so we have heterim here too. I think it's an important question for trying to understand what this gezeira is about. So before, sorry? Yes, ah, okay, so that gets us the Yivama synergy. We'll get you into some more Yivama synergy in a second. Yeah. We get some pretty heavy Yivama synergy coming up. So one of the major questions I know that's on everybody's mind is, does this gezeira really make sense in our modern world? So nowadays, if we don't grind our own medicines, if this is not a part of the way we deal with our illnesses, we all have our own shelves full of whatever pills we need, so should we say that this gezeira is out of date? Should we say bot lahatam, bot lahagzeira, or bottle patam, since the pills are in the bottle already, so there's no gezeira anymore, let's forget about it. Does anyone say this? What do you think? Bahalacha, does anyone say this? Are there any Rishonim who will perhaps give you a hint of this? Is there any basis to say this whatsoever?
Maybe the Rambam.
Maybe the Rambam, that's an interesting one.
Because he says if you don't do it, the way he says it is he's talking about by the tinuk over there that all those things aren't done. Like true folks, it's just done physically. So therefore that says that there's no chashash of somebody being mishachek saman lanin because that refuah isn't done that way, so therefore you don't have a problem. So nowadays where our refuahs aren't, we don't do refuah anymore, or at least on our own. So there would not be a chashash anymore. It's just expanding that idea over there to take it a little bit farther.
Okay, so you're saying there is possibly a scenario where it's not light when you're going to grind up.
Right, and therefore,
even though we see clearly there are scenarios, which even in the Gemara, there are scenarios where we're not connected to someone and still we prohibit it.
Correct.
But apparently there are exceptions to that, so who knows how broadly to apply the exception. Mm-hmm. So that's one angle to take. But just in terms of changing times, is there a reason to say that the whole generation has changed?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Rashi.
Yeah, which Rashi?
Derech. He says because if it's not derech for somebody, derech machal briyam or not.
As we discussed a little bit yesterday, right? What's considered derech and what's considered to be machal briyam is definitely subjective.
Right. So I'm saying, so if you already have that subjectivity factor in a heter legale machal briyam, so you could also
expand it by culture.
Yeah,
and
not,
by
like we saw by Borer with the subjectivity for Tosos.
Okay, perhaps. Avram?
Clapping on Shabbos.
What about Shabbos? Oh, so clapping on Shabbos. So thank you. So who brings that up? Tosos and Beitza. Yes, Tosos and Beitza, Taflamin, maintains that that's the case, right? So, depending on where you spend your Shabbos, you may or may not be aware of this, but at least at one point in history, there is a gezeira not to clap, not to dance on Shabbos, because of the concern of Shema Yitake and Plishir. Maybe you will come to fix your instruments in order to enhance your clapping and dancing experience. So nowadays there are those who are not virtuous and there are those who aren't. The Machas Elazar has a famous tshuva explaining the chassidish practice to not be machmer on this. There's a Tosus in Beitza, Tosus, Sanya Rama Komasless, Tosus and Daf Lamed in Beitza, where Tosus essentially asserts that nowadays we don't know how to fix our own instruments. So therefore, we're not subject to this concern. Therefore, it's not a risk. And this is something the Rama quotes, and this is something the Dosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch are certainly factoring into a generally lenient attitude towards this gezeira. So is there some room to say that nowadays, if this is not something we practice, we don't make our own medicines, so therefore the gezeira should fall away? So the main 20th century posek who's associated with this idea is Rav Ram Chaim Lohar, right, the author of the Ketzos HaShulchan, which, if you don't have on your shelf, where can you get it?
Yearbooks.org,
Chelek Zion, you can download the whole thing for free. And he is associated with this idea. We'll discuss exactly how associated he should be with it, but he's associated with this idea that maybe there's more leniency b'zman hazeh concerning the gezeira of refuah. Now, it's important to point out that even though he's the main voice who's associated with a makel attitude towards this, he's still somebody who's written pages after pages after pages about the issur refuah. If you look in that Chelek Zion, it's Kuf Lamed Dalet, in Chelek Zion of so he has quite a lengthy section on refuah. So that gives you a little bit of perspective on how ready he is to defend through the whole thing. I have a sefer at home on the laws of using a computer. So it has a section on Hilchos Internet. So the section on Hilchos Internet is one sentence long. It says, Hashimush b'internet asura. So there's no mixed message, okay? He's telling you very clearly he's opposed to the internet, and there's no further discussion about it. So here in the Ketzos HaShulchan, there's extensive discussion about the issur refuah. So we see right away he's not convinced that this issur doesn't apply. But at the same time, he's the one most open or most associated with this idea that maybe there's a tzad kuli. So what's the tzad kuli? And perhaps we should say that if once upon a time this was an issue, but now it's not an issue, now we don't do this, and therefore maybe we should say, Bavla Hatam, Bavla HaGzera, the Gzera falls away. Now there are a lot of ins and outs to this question, some of which he discusses. Right, the commentary in the bottom is called the Bari HaShulchan. Right. So it's in the Bari HaShulchan on the bottom, it's in the footnotes, in the Bari HaShulchan.
The book is
called Ketzos HaShulchan, but at the bottom it's called Bari HaShulchan. So this comment is there in the Bari HaShulchan, which is the bottom of the Ketzos HaShulchan.
So that blue book that's called Bari HaShulchan.
That's a different one. That's from Fibel Kohn. That's Ketzos HaShulchan is a different sefer. Rav Ram Chaim Noah died in 1954. So the sefer is a couple decades older. So in the footnotes are called Bari HaShulchan. So he also notes a little bit of a different svara, which is interesting. It's a questionable how to apply the svara. That we have a general rule, milsa de lo shkicha lo gazru de rabban, which literally means what? That if something is not common, so Chazal didn't make a gezeira. So maybe it's possible to suggest that once upon a time this was a common risk. Today it's not a common risk. So therefore, maybe the gezeira shouldn't be there. So why is that not such an obvious thing to say? Well,
yes, Sammy?
Talking about before the gezeira is made.
Oh, so I think that's presumably a legitimate question to ask. And it comes out, you see in some of the literature, you see in the Tshuvas, if you go into some more length, but in the Idrus Moshe on the one hand, and the Tshuvas of Rav Henkin on the other hand, in a totally different context, you see different understandings of this phrase. And you see that the poskim seem to understand it differently than the way the Gemara did. But the Pashup Shot is, one would think, is that that means that Chazal only made Gezeres because there was a strong need. So Chazal don't make Gezeres for a far-off possibility, something that's extremely unlikely. But if they already made the Gezeres, to say that it doesn't apply to an unusual situation, that's a little bit of an unusual understanding. Or to say that if they made the Gezeres, there's three ways to understand it. And you could say that if my situation is unusual, so Gezeres don't apply to me, that's a very machodesh way of understanding it, but there is precedent for that even in Shas. It's a separate discussion. The most likely understanding is to say that Chazal didn't make Gezeira in the first place if it was not a real risk, if it wasn't a significant risk. This is kind of an in-between understanding, that Chazal made the Gezeira was a real risk, but now the risk has shrunk, so they're not going to continue the Gezeira. The Gezeira automatically by itself falls away. It's itself a somewhat machudish understanding. And he goes on to make a few other points. Yes, sir, Adam? Sorry. Because I think the most instinctive understanding is that Chazal only make Gezeres when they have a great need. Right? So they don't make Gezeres for small issues. So if they have a great need, so fine. But if it's a very far off concern, it's never going to happen, then they're not justified in making the Gezeres. But to say that once the need shrinks, the Gezeres automatically expires, that requires a very different understanding of the power of Chazal. It requires us to say that they allow their gezeiras to diffuse just if the need shifts. It's not an obvious point. It's not impossible, but it's not an obvious one.
It's consistent. If the concept is needed, that's why they made the gezeiras.
That's why they made the gezeiras in the first place. But once they made the gezeiras, as we'll discuss in a few minutes, once they made the gezeiras in the first place, it's there. So to say that it goes away just because, and then you also get to the whole subjective discussion of how do we evaluate that the need isn't even there anymore. And when does it happen? What's the threshold? Right? At what point does the risk, there's a 40% risk, they'll make Xavier. And if it was a 5% risk, they wouldn't make Xavier. So what happens at the 25% risk? And how do we evaluate it? And that's part of what Avraham Chaim Noah himself ends up discussing. Jonathan?
Can we say that even in the case of when they made the Gezeira Chazal, in the case of Gemara, that even then it wasn't a real risk? Because in the case of the Hamish Achaz Adam, so then there was such a risk that they were going to do Shechikat Simonim for them. So can you say that even then there wasn't a real risk? So today, just because there's also not a real risk?
Why is it not a real risk? Because it's going to remove then?
Because in the specific case of the Gemara, it was such a different procedure.
Clearly, Rashi was saying that there is a risk. Gemara is saying there is a risk, which then the risk seems to be at a remove. It's at a, risk that looks a little Gezeira-like, but it was a risk. Maybe your point is that even then it was somewhat remote,
right,
and still they applied it. So how do we know who gives us the authority to decide that it's changed today, which is a fair question. And he himself, Avraham Chaim Noah, before he finishes his discussion, he concludes by saying that one could question this because also, who knows? Okay, so you don't make your own drugs, but maybe there are people in the world that do. And maybe there are places in the world where they still do this, where they are trained in home remedies, and it still exists. So who are we to say confidently that this no longer is relevant? Hi.
Was that like a toe cutter? Is that you a problem with toe pain? You cut your toe in
half? So when you cut your toe after it's already made.
Yeah.
Right, so we saw we mentioned there was two pesach frank, thought that was an issue of ain't, it was a kula of ain't tochen after tochen. If you assume the pill itself is mutter, so once it's already ground to ground your farther, I got into our whole discussion of what Antochen and Afatochen means, but he thought specifically in that case that should be put. But the case we're talking about is taking the original substances and making them into pills. So that would be itself the issue. So maybe there are a few places where they do this. So one of the major issues and one of the major factors in this discussion is the Tshuvas HaRash. Torah's Chesed, Shneur Zalman and Lublin, has the Tshuvah where he quotes the Tshuvas HaRash. The Tshuvas HaRash says, here's a rule of thumb, that some gezeiras are context dependent and some gezeiras aren't. How do we know? If Chazal made the gezeira flatly, they just stated without any explanation, so So then it applies no matter what. Now clearly they had a reason. They're not going to make a gzeira without a reason. But if they didn't make the reason part of the gzeira, you get the gzeira and we're stuck with it. But if they did enter the reason into the gzeira itself, into the nusach of the gzeira, into the proclamation, so to speak, so then it's reason dependent. And if that reason disappears, so then we're not going to have to hold the gzeira anymore. So that's the issue that Avraham Chaim Noah was considering. And his conclusion, by the way, as we said, he does certainly have a large section about refuah. He doesn't say refuah doesn't apply anymore, so there's two sentences about it, and he has a lot to say. So he himself is not ready to rely on this so much. He says that it's a sniff. He says this is certainly something we can take into consideration. So the example of applying the sniff, he says, is let's say somebody is not sure. We mentioned a few minutes ago, if somebody is collapsing, no full of mishkav, so then he's not subject to this gezeirah. So that itself is a subjective thing, which we always try to figure out if it applies or not. So he says, if you're not so sure, if you're in this category of somebody who's no full of mishkav, so you also have the right to have a lenient attitude towards it, because you can also enter into the mix that we're not sure how much the gzeira should apply. But if you're sure that you're somebody the gzeira should apply to, he says that we shouldn't be making, we should assume that it does apply. The Soloveitchik, however, was not amenable to the whole svar to begin with. He thought that this whole idea that we have the ability to undo this gzeira is not true, and that it should be subject to the rule of davar shebemenu. And if something was originally made by the Sanhedrin, if the gzeira was already made by the quorum, so then tzorech minyan acher lahatiro, we can't have it undone by itself. It needs another Sanhedrin to come and undo it. So if that's the case, so reason applies, doesn't apply, whatever it is, we shouldn't have the ability to ignore it. We shouldn't have the ability to say it no longer applies. The Shachter Shlita, Sefer Eretz Tzvi. Hi.
How does he explain the
Toshim? Oh, so then that's going to be the rule. So it's going to depend. There are certain gzeiros which are subject to this Davar Shebemenu rule. So the chiluk is going to be that if the reason is there.
So the reason is here.
Oh, so then the question is the reason here? Now here's what really throws confusion into the mix. So you might think, okay, so let's open up our Gemaras and we'll see where the gzeiros have the reasons and where they don't.
It's all Rashi's. There's a Rashi in the one who says it's between Sikas.
Oh, well, the Gemara talks about Shlikas in the one, but your point you're trying to make is that maybe the Gemara never states it so clearly. The Gemara does state it. You know, certainly on the Gimel and Beis, the Gemara talks about it. So it's not only Rashi's. Rashi brings it up a lot. But even the Gemara is not going to help us as much as we want it, because even if the Gemara does tell us the reason, it would be great if that was the whole story. Problem is, that doesn't necessarily mean that when Chazal made the Gezeira, they said it that way. Unfortunately, we can't really use the Gemara as a way to know what the Nusach is. So Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi wants to suggest that there is a way you can tell. Sometimes there are circumstances where you can say with confidence that the reason must have been there, even though we can't necessarily open the Gemara and say, if it says gzeira mishum this, that's the reason that it was included in the original gzeira. The Gemara won't necessarily tell us one way or another. But there are certain gzeiros where we have to assume that the rule was that the reason was put in the gzeira. What cases would that include? Here we get into Yevamos Unity. Says if you have a gezeira, which is an akiras davar min haTorah, if the gezeira involves uprooting something that's in the Torah itself, so then you have to assume that Chazal would have to put the reason as part of the gezeira, because since they had to counteract a mitzvah in the Torah, they had to override a mitzvah in the Torah. Right, and this is a sugya and yivamis, and daf peytes and daf tzadis, a little yivamis unity. Yesh koach bidei chachamim lakar davar min haTorah, and we know that they have the authority to uproot mitzvah from the Torah itself. They can tell you not to blow shofar on Shabbos if Shabbos, if the Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So the Torah says blow shofar, and Chazal say don't. So in such a case, you have to assume the reason is included in the gzeirah. Hi.
Shave off tax and shine. They can just tell you,
Oh, they have the authority to do that. Yeah, but once they're, but the assumption is that if they're going to make such a
gzeirah, that's not nakira. The way that Rashi explains that, that's not nakira at all. Because shave off tax, so lahakil is not a nakira. To be makir is the akira.
The conclusion of the Gemara is that that's what they're called akira. It's a machlokes in the Gemara whether we could call akira also kumban se, the Gemara in the Bannas. But our conclusion of the whole phrase, the way we use it today, is yesh koach lecham lahakir davar min haTorah b'shave al tasa.
Yeah,
that is called an akira. Yeah, that's how we assume Allah.
I haven't finished that sugya, but is that part of, has to be limited to Rosa?
That's one of the requirements of the Gemara. Although there's a Rishonim expanded to other things, it's not clear that it's only limited to Rosa.
What I mean is that it has to be limited to Rosa. That means that you had a specific reason why you're doing this gezeira. And we're taking a specific need and we're fixing it. So
right.
Is that why Rosh Hashanah is saying, oh, there must have been a reason because there must have been the whole... It must have a problem that they're trying to fix in the first place.
Yeah, but there's always a reason. The question is that here the reason has to be made public, has to be a part of the process, because otherwise how can you tell people to ignore the Torah? So following that logic, his initial instinct is to say that we should say that the gzeira of refuah should be in such a category. That we should say that the gzeira of refuah has a reason that is expressed, because this gezeira is also against the Torah. It's also an uprooting of the Torah. How is that true? How is this gezeira uprooting the Torah?
Onik Shabbos.
Is Onik Shabbos in the Torah, by the way?
It's
from the Nevi'im, right? We talked about this a little bit on Sunday when we talked about Purim. And we talked about Shalach Manet, so it's not something that's necessarily defined in the Chumash. You find it in the Pasuk in Shayo, the Karas of the Shabbos Onik. We had a little discussion on Sunday about this, about whether something that's called Divrei Kabbalah, that's in the Nevi'im, is that granted the status of the Divrei Torah? Okay, so let's say it is. So says Rosh Hashanah, maybe we could say, all right, so here, this is a gzeira against the Torah. The Torah tells us through the Nevi'im, you have an obligation of Onik Shabbos. Here, I have a headache. I'm not enjoying my Shabbos. I want to take a pill, and Chazal say no. So it must be that that is an akiras davar min haTorah, and therefore we can assume that it included the text in its proclamation. And we should say, batla hatam, batla hagzeir. So the way he answered that question opens up a whole new discussion, which we'll have to get into in our halakha maisa phase a little bit. Makes the following assumption. He says, you see in the poskim, and this is a little bit of a controversial issue, so we will get into this more in our halakha maaseh phase. He says, you see in the poskim that vitamins that are for future purpose are also a problem. So even a person who's feeling fine now, but is taking something so that he won't feel bad later, is also included in the gzeirah. So what does that show you? Like, it's not that the gzeira automatically targets the din min haTorah, automatically is opposing this din of Onik Shabbos. It's a broad idea which may or may not impact Onik Shabbos. And therefore, you wouldn't necessarily have to assume that it's a part of the gzeira, this reasoning of Shrika Samamanim, and therefore, if we no longer have that, we're no longer subject to that consideration. That's his approach to this idea. But also perhaps is relevant to everything we've been talking about so far. So what have we seen so far? We've seen that we have a gezeira. We have a gezeira that's unusual. Seems to be about grinding up things, but applies even when we're not necessarily potentially going to grind up things, or applies even if we were going to grind things up, it wouldn't necessarily be an Isser, maybe it's Yantif, or a similar situation. We see that there's a great focus on what people perceive more than what we do. that we're more interested in the purpose than the action itself, so therefore even passively it's an issue, while the action without intent may not be an issue at all. We see a couple of very interesting things here, and we see this whole tension potentially between the fact that refua is normally a heter and not an iser, and also that we have a consideration of owning Shabbos, which itself is somewhat strained because of this concept. So perhaps we could say the following understanding, and you tell me whether you agree with this or not. I think there was a little bit of a hint of this yesterday in some things that came up. Maybe the issue is that Chazal were concerned, especially because we do allow refua for pikuach nefesh, and we may have certain leniencies for chol hashem bo sakana. So Chazal were concerned that the attitude may be perceived by people who observe acts of refua taking place, that anything you're doing for your health is motiv. We hear this sometimes, people say, whether it's Hilchos Shabbos or whether it's Hilchos Kashrus, right, anything for health is okay. Now, in a certain extent, to a certain extent, that's true. Right, if it's Pikuach Nefesh, so then, yeah, that is true, for the most part. If it's a serious kol, that's not Pikuach Nefesh, that may be true. But to say that all Yisurim are mutter just because it has a temporary health benefit, or a long-range health benefit that's less than life-threatening, so that's clearly not the case. But it's something that's easy to misunderstand. So perhaps Chazal, specifically because this is an area where we do find many liberties legitimately taken, so Chazal had to make a gezeira so that one shouldn't get the impression that even lesser health considerations, everything is mutter. And if that's the case, perhaps you could say that tochen is symbolic. Tochen is the representative concern. But it's not the whole concern. The whole concern is really that one might think that all malachas are mutter for the sake of health. Tochen is the most likely. And maybe if it wasn't that there was ever a problem with tochen, maybe Chazal wouldn't have made the gzeira in the first place. Maybe that is the dominant issue. But it's not necessarily the whole story. And therefore, even if tochein is less of a concern b'zman hazeh, or if it's less of a concern because it's yontif, or for any other reason, maybe that doesn't necessarily allow us to dispense with this gezeira, because the gezeira isn't really about this one particular block. This is the most likely, this is the, perhaps the impetus, but it represents a broader concern that we are worried that one may take a certain attitude towards Hilchos Shabbos that's not justified. The Eklei Kal starts to say something like this, but kind of backs away from it. He says something a little bit different. He says that maybe we're afraid that people might think, okay, if you could do a refuah, so that's itself a tikkun. That's a tikkun of a person. It's a tikkun gavu. And if that's the case, so then maybe it's itself a malacha, and yet we allow it. So therefore, maybe we should allow all malachas for this purpose. So in order not to let people think this, even though there isn't really such a malacha, even though refuah would not have been a malacha, but it could have been perceived as one, so therefore they answered it so that people shouldn't think that other malachas are also mutter, such as the malacha itself and refuah. So he backs away from that a little bit, but it's a similar idea that perhaps there is a concern that the attitude one could have, especially when we throw in the mitzvah of Arik Shabbos. Say, okay, so we find that I'm allowed to do things for the purposes of saving lives. We find that there are other things I'm allowed to do even if life is not at stake. I know that on Shabbos I have an obligation of owning Shabbos. So therefore, maybe that overrides malachos. Maybe I can do malachos in order to feel better in a temporary sense, even when I'm not a chola, and that should allow it. So therefore, in order to counteract this attitude, Chazal had to ask the refua across the board, and perhaps specifically to a bari, because the chola is not the target of this. It's not necessarily that it's a gzeira for everyone, that it's overridden for the chola sheyesh bo sakana or shein bo sakana, but it's specifically targeted to a bari. A person in this category shouldn't assume that everything is mutter for him, owning Shabbos, etc., and everything is okay. Aaron, you wanted to ask something?
Is there a flipping thing close between, let's say, a solid where there would be token versus liquid?
Oh, so then you get
it. Tied to this versus it's not a din and dot whether the token would be valid, rather it's a.
Right, so it's not necessarily a solid liquid issue, but there are cases where some money are more of a real risk and where they're less of a real risk. So even though we see from the Gemara that it applies to both cases, we do find, we'll have to develop this a little bit more tomorrow, that we do find that there are chilukim in terms of the strength of the gzera, that when there's a real risk of an immediate shtika samamonim, so then it could be applied more stringently, and when it's asar al shafua, but it's not really likely that there's immediate grinding involved, so then there's a more lenient attitude, and we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. Just want to add, before I mention that Egli Tal, so in that context, he does also address the issue of the altar. So he says, so that's also a part of the problem. Right? That we know that when it comes to Borer, so Mara tells us that the heter of the altar. And when it comes to Tochen, so the Rishonim, many of the Rashba and others do assume there is a heter of the altar. So whether or not, says clearly, again, kind of working backwards, like we also saw that Rav Shechter did with the Akira question. So working backwards, okay, clearly this is not mutter l'altar. You have to assume that making medicine l'altar is not mutter because we wouldn't have the gezeira that you might do it if it was mutter to do in the first place. Now, that has two significances for us. First of all, why is that? So why would you think that might be, by the way? I think someone suggested yesterday. Why would it be there's no heter l'altar? Right, so maybe the heter isn't really a time issue, but it's based on derech achila. And derech achila is not necessarily the case here. Whether it's because medicine is not called achila, or whether it's because it's a whole different type of approach, it's not necessarily a derech achila. Even though it is la'alter, as he points out, and as we see already, bohol, by definition, means it's immediate, right? They were clearly dealing with an immediate type of situation, so it is happening immediately. But it's not necessarily called derech achila. So even those Rishonim who say that tochen la'alter is mutter, they wouldn't say it here. But then he goes on to say that that's also part of the equation. So that's also part of the mistake people could make. Okay, so we know that borer is mutter la'alter. We know that maybe even tochen could be mutter la'alter. So since in this case it's not mutter, so there's an even greater risk, specifically in the tochen context, and therefore all this together means that we're a little bit more worried. But perhaps, again, you could say that this is really a representative issue that essentially Chazal are addressing an attitude that we're worried that we'll think that everything is mutter, l'shem, health, even not life-threatening or serious health issues. And therefore, they had to take a stand and say that refuah should be prohibited as a general rule, and everything perhaps flows from that in terms of exeter considerations, in terms of the perception issues, in terms of the situations where it's not necessarily a real token consideration. I think everything perhaps flows from an understanding of something along those lines. I have to let you guys go to Bible. Any questions about any of that so far? Okay, so I have a few more points to make about this, so we'll continue with this a little bit, and then we'll start Meraki. Try to get that.